Welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. Today, I want to talk about how 2022 can be the biggest year of wealth growth in your life. You can be the rocket ship that gets yourself to the moon. I want to start off by saying that money does not make you happy. I can attest to that. You will not feel extremely different than you feel right now if you have $10 million. You might say, Travis, you're an idiot. I would feel amazing if I had $10 million. The reality is you would feel better not because you have more money, but because you have more options. So think about that when you're thinking about the value of money. Money is this made-up thing, right? People just made up a bunch of cryptocurrencies and suddenly it's worth something. So money is just a made-up concept. What does it really represent? It's a tool in the toolbox that gives you choices in life. And when you have choices in life, generally speaking, you're happier than if you don't have choices in life. Thinking about what those choices are, you know, choices and options are only possible if you have some way to not have to completely rely on your income that you earn from your job, right? Because you kind of need passive income to replace at least a part or all of your active income if you want to change your work hours. Now, you might say, well, I could make more money, I could switch jobs, I could get into a different career, I could do a lot of different things. And while that might be true, ultimately, you know, why are people forced to work in lousy jobs? It's because they don't have other options. Why don't they have other options? It's because they need that income from that job to live. What you need is assets. The average American does not have very many assets, which is why all of the pandemic relief money really changed the economy so much, caused inflation, caused all these shocking things, is because so many people that never before had amazing options finally had amazing options, which is great. But then it's pretty shocking because it's never happened before. And the thing is at a macro level, you can't control what Congress is going to do. You can't control public policy. We obviously cannot control the pandemic. We've had 2 years of it, right? And so what you can control is yourself and your own actions. You can give yourself options from actions that you take. So if you think about the typical American's got about $150,000 in retirement savings when they're in their 60s. And if you annuitize that, which means if you turned it into a pension, then that would be worth maybe about $8,000 to $10,000 a year of income for the rest of your life. In other words, you turn over that $150,000 to an insurance company at 65 and you say, what income will you give me for the rest of my life? Maybe it's $8,000 to $10,000. That's, you know, $700, $800 a month, $900 a month. That's not enough to live on at all. If you pair that amount of retirement savings with Social Security, that might be $1,500 to $2,000 a month. Well, that's good enough to live in a mobile home community in South Florida in a working class neighborhood and watch, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays on TV all day. I'm not saying that to put that down at all. That's honestly, there's a lot of people probably that have that really modest lifestyle that are significantly happier than both of us, you and me. The point is that you want to have choices. You want to have options. And to live on $100,000 a year in retirement, you need $2.5 million of assets. That's 25 times the level of spending is the rule of thumb that I use to calculate that. So that's very daunting, especially when you have student debt to get to that level of wealth. So if you think about debt, student debt is not an obstacle that you need to worry about. And that's maybe offensive to say that. So why would I say that? Well, because worst case scenario, if it's federal student debt, it's an income tax. We know that you can think of it as a percent of your income, and then you also have another percent of your income that's going to cover the potential but unlikely tax bomb that some of you would have to owe after paying for 20 or 25 years on an income-based repayment plan. Since people live in California and are happy and pay 10% income tax that they could otherwise not pay if they lived across the border in Nevada, so too is an income tax not something that should wreck your life. It's something that you have to budget for and be aware of, but it's just something that you just deal with and move on. And the value that you get, just as living in California might be a little bit more appealing than living in Nevada from a climate and environment and just quality of life standpoint, you know, some Nevadans would disagree with me, but, you know, that's why people pay those extra taxes to live in a state where they really like the quality of living. So too is your job so much more valuable than if you had not gotten your education at all. It's more valuable from a security standpoint, Whereas, you know, if the economy crashes, you'll still be employed, whereas a lot of people will not be. And your income's higher than the average income from a bachelor's degree. You know, I was reading this. I'm kind of a freak, guys. I was reading the AVMA annual report on the state of the veterinary profession last night. You know, just a little cash reading. Some people read their People magazine. I read the AVMA State of Veterinary Medicine report. And in there, I found that veterinarians in 2020, I think 2021, had a 0.7% unemployment rate. Every single veterinarian that wants a job has a job. So that's pretty much true across the board for professional degrees. You know, the master's degree unemployment rate right now, I think, is like 1.5%. It's like a historic low. But the professional degrees unemployment rate is even lower than that. So you have a super secure job. Even in a bad economic environment, if you lose your job, you'll find one right away. My wife got laid off during the pandemic. She's a physician. Nobody in their right mind would think that you would get laid off as a physician, except she got laid off. But the way she got laid off was that she had a year's notice of the layoff where they continued to pay her salary. And she had a year to look for a job while getting that salary. And we found another job pretty easily. That's the kind of security that you have during a pandemic. Meanwhile, all the people with less than a bachelor's degree got laid off during the early part of the pandemic. A whole lot of people did, and then had to subsist on unemployment for many months. And then when the jobs all came back, a lot of people obviously found out that they were getting paid more from unemployment than their jobs were paying them. And so obviously the net rational thing to do would be to enjoy that security until it was taken away. Let's talk about the concept of why your problem is having assets and not that you have student debt. So it's kind of a reframing of the financial challenges that you are going through. The reality is if your income, if your student debt is an income tax, then, you know, an income tax is just an income tax, right? It's not a debt. So take that debt off your balance sheet. Well, what is the thing that's not causing you to be wealthy? Well, it's the lack of assets, not the large debt. If assets is the problem, then the way to fix it is to grow those assets. And remember, we're growing the assets not because you want to have a certain X amount of wealth one day. It's because you want to have options. It's because you want to generate passive income that can replace your active income so that you have a choice about whether or not you work overtime in a pandemic one day, right? So you have a choice whether or not you work 3 days a week or 5 days a week, so that you have a choice whether or not you want to take that really lousy gynecology call that you have to drive into the hospital for once a week that you could totally say no to if you had enough money to say no to it. That's the goal, is to have those choices, which means you need a lot of assets and you need to grow them quickly. Why do I talk about a six-figure net worth as the key success metric on the road to wealth building? It's because of the concept of escape velocity. If you think about a rocket ship going to the moon, to use another popular Reddit meme from 2021, if you hit escape velocity in a rocket ship, you're going to escape Earth's gravity and get to where you're wanting to go. But if you are lower than that velocity, you might fall back to Earth. In other words, if you don't get any more additional assists from extra expended fuel, then you might not hit where you want to be. So it's kind of similar with a six-figure net worth. Getting to a six-figure net worth is really hard. That's why the typical average Americans only barely got a six-figure net worth in their 60s, is because it's very, very difficult. Why is it hard? Think about all the different accounts you need to know about, all the different tax-deferred strategies out there, all the different mutual funds, all the different ETFs. Think about CNBC watching all the ticker symbols going by and not having any idea what you should be putting your money into. All the stock tips or the crypto tips or the options tips you get from your 28-year-old brother-in-law that somehow made $500,000 last year and you feel like an idiot for not doing the same thing. Give yourself a break, but know that if you get to a six-figure net worth, then you will absolutely change your financial trajectory completely. And if you have six figures of student loan debt, then you can really think of that as it is a debt if you're planning to pay it back, right? If you know you want to pay it back, then you should treat it as a debt on your balance sheet. But if you know that you're not going to be paying it back, treat it as an income tax so that you can look at that as zero. So then when you calculate your net worth, it's assets minus student debt minus any other liabilities, and the student debt should be accounted for as either a debt if you're paying it back or a tax if you're not. So the goal is to get to a net worth of at least $100,000. So I want to read this quote from Charlie Munger. This is the right-hand man of Warren Buffett, you know, the Berkshire Hathaway conglomerate that's been so successful at long-term investing. So a young man asked him at the annual Woodstock for Capitalist shareholders meeting of Berkshire Hathaway, how do you grow wealth as a young person and what is most important? And so he said this, quote, the first 100,000 is a bleep. I put that in there myself. I can't say the word he said, but he said the first 100,000 is a bleep, but you got to do it. I don't care what you have to do. If it means walking everywhere and not eating anything that wasn't purchased with a coupon, find a way to get your hands on 100,000. After that, you can ease off the gas a little bit. That is the same concept of a six-figure net worth being life-changing because so few people hit that escape velocity. And when you hit that escape velocity of a six-figure net worth, you will hit your financial goals. You will hit them rapidly because you learned all of the key things that you need to do to grow wealth. But a whole lot of people have no clue how to grow wealth, and they sort of muddle along for a long time and finally get to that six-figure net worth, but they do so in their 40s, or their 50s, or their 60s even, when they could have done it so much sooner if they'd had a little bit of an investment of knowledge in themselves so that they could easily take action and change everything about their life. So think about what happened in the pandemic. Workers got that financial support lifeline where they didn't have to work for the first time in many people's lives. Again, a lot of people had the opportunity to wait for a better job to turn up instead of just going back to the lousy job that they had right when they called them back. And a lot of people, too, are still using that savings to be a lot more aggressive about quitting their jobs. We had a record number of people, 4 million people, I think, quit their jobs in the month of November 2021. That's a record. That's amazing. That's because people feel empowered. People feel like there's no risk in the economy, that they can take chances, and that's a good thing. But eventually, we know that those assets and those savings are going to dry up. Eventually, we will have a return to fear in the economy. We will have a return to a recessionary environment. We don't know when that's going to happen. So then what you can do right now is give yourself financial freedom, and that's what we teach people with large student loan debt how to do. So that's why I want to announce the six-figure debt to six-figure net worth course is launching today from Student Loan Planner. The URL for that is studentloanplanner.com/investing. So studentloanplanner.com/investing. So this is really exciting because this is the seventh time we've totally and completely updated this course. This is going to be life-changing. We have the biggest percent discount on this course that we've ever offered. And I think that you will absolutely have your life changed by it if you decide to take it. So I'm going to come back to that, but I want to talk more about investing. So let's talk about the past. Let's talk about the past since the financial crisis. What's happened negatively in the financial markets since the financial crisis? Basically nothing. So there was like one summer sell-off in maybe 2011. There was this little bit of a thing called a taper tantrum when markets got spooked about the Fed pulling back some support with quantitative easing. And I think it was like 2013, 2014, something like that. But if you think about the economy sort of from the post-financial crisis period, maybe up until around like 2018, the economy was just sort of muddling along, but the stock market was doing pretty good, right? So, I mean, the economy took a really long time to fully get back to normal after the 2009 financial crisis, but the stock market just really was the leading indicator of that. It was really performing like gangbusters. From 2009 to 2022, the weakest period of stock market performance was negative 5%. That's nothing. Negative 5%, that is hardly a loss. Think about the financial crisis, that was negative 40%. During the 2000, 2001, 2002 recession, right around the September 11th attacks, that was a period of like a sustained loss of something like 50%, I think, over the course of 3 years from peak to trough. So the issue is we have a whole bunch of investors, basically pretty much every investor under 35 has probably not experienced hardly any risk in financial markets at all. And that's a big problem. And it's really key to be aware of this to grow wealth and hit that escape velocity to make sure your financial future goes to the moon and you're going to be able to live completely on passive income way faster than you ever thought possible. Let's talk about stock market valuations. discounted cash flow analysis is something that's kind of technical. It sounds kind of boring, but it's actually pretty important. It explains why companies like SpaceX or Tesla or Google or Facebook or Apple or Netflix have just really soared. Because the reason is we have super low interest rates. During the pandemic, what did the Federal Reserve do? They decided to fight back by like lowering interest rates to almost nothing and then buying tons of corporate bonds to lower credit risk too. So usually the Federal Reserve only tightened interest rates, but then they tightened credit risk too during this pandemic recession. That's why it only lasted 4 to 6 weeks. Because everybody decided that there was no such thing as risk anymore, what you do is you take companies' future profits to come up with the value of a company, and you discount those profits back to the present to come up with a value in today's dollars. Does that make sense? So for example, if you're going to have $10 billion of profit every single year, you need an interest rate that you pick to convert that into money today. And the interest rate that you pick is high if there's a lot of risk, if there's high interest rates, and the interest rate's really low in that formula, if there's not a lot of risk and there's low interest rates. So right now, there's really low interest rates and there's not a lot of risk. And so the interest rate you use to discount future profits is really low. What that means, let me translate math finance speak. What that means is the value of companies for that have like future profits way into the future is way, way higher than it really ever would be otherwise because of the current environment we're in. So if you discount $100 billion that Tesla's going to earn 10 years from now at a 2 or 3% interest rate, well, that $100 billion is almost worth $100 billion today. Whereas if you discount that by like a 10% interest rate to factor in credit risk and higher interest rates, then that $100 billion might be worth a tenth of that today. And so you could literally have the same company with the same profit projections that's worth 10 times as much just because of a random thing like what interest rate you're using to look at the value of their future profits. So what I'm explaining is that is why the past 13 years, U.S. stocks have crushed it. They have killed everything. Growth stocks, like big growth companies, have killed it and crushed it. Everything doesn't compare. What is going on? What is causing this? What is happening right now in the economy that makes investing right now so confusing and so weird, and at the same time makes people feel so confident in that they know what they're doing when probably they don't actually know? First, we had low interest rates during this pandemic, right? Then we had high credit risk in March, April 2020 that eventually and quite immediately became almost zero credit risk. And we had both at the same time. So the value of all of these future profits, which is highly speculative in the first place, is now a lot less speculative and a lot more valuable simply because of this weird thing called the discount rate, the interest rate that you use to calculate what the value of these profits in the future are today. So that is why a company like a Tesla soared, because so much of Tesla's massive future likely profits are way off in the future. And when you have a massive amount of future profits with a very low discount rate, the value of that asset soars. And that means that the future is not going to look like the past. So we have to think about strategies that are going to work not last year or the year before that. We have to figure out a strategy that works going forward. And what are some of the things that are causing issues with that? The Federal Reserve is buying $80 billion a month in treasury bonds and $40 billion a month in mortgage bonds. Think about what that's doing to the markets. It's propping them up enormously. That the reason that does that is because when the Federal Reserve just basically prints money like that and buys that much debt, it pushes down interest rates. If you push down interest rates, you do things like massively lower housing payments, which enables people to buy more house, which pushes up housing prices. If you buy $80 billion a month in treasuries, that pushes down interest rates. That makes banks able to lend a lot of money, which gives consumers more money to spend, which gives consumers more money to invest, which pushes up asset prices because people have more money to spend and invest. This is all real interesting. If I think back to the financial crisis, I had a conversation as a student 13 or 14 years ago with the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta president. He came to our school and gave a talk to our economics department, and he said he basically wanted seniors to be buying dividend-paying stocks instead of bonds. And one of the strategies they had to get us out of the financial crisis was essentially to inflate the value of assets because of something called the wealth effect. What it means is when you feel richer, you spend more. Basically, if you think about it, your stock market portfolio went up, you go out to a nicer restaurant, you spend twice as much as you normally would spend because you feel wealthier. Well, now everyone feels richer. We did the child tax credit stimulus, we did checks, we did all this support, we did the PPP program to support businesses. Now we're hearing random 20-somethings are tripling their money and posting about their Ferraris and Lambos they're buying through their crypto or day trading on Instagram. Why that's a problem is because it implies that there could be a crash at some point. It could happen in 2022, it could happen in 2025, it could not even happen until all the way until 2030. We don't know that. But what we know is going into 2022, the risk is the highest since the dot-com bubble because the valuations of the stock market are 40 basically times earnings right now compared to 44 during the dot-com bubble. So 40 is the current valuation, you know, of the price earnings ratio of the market. So what? How does that compare to 1929? Back then it was 30. So today's market is like a third more highly valued than the market during the Great Depression, right before it crashed. Now, the reason for that is because everything else is so bad to invest in, right? If bonds are yielding 1.5%, then suddenly stock market looks a lot better. So there's been really no fear in U.S. markets for the past 13 years and counting. Eventually, though, fear does come back. And when it comes back, it often comes back with a vengeance. The last time we've really known fear for the past 13 years was the 4 to 6 weeks of the early pandemic, March 13th to like early April, basically. And then suddenly it was all, you know, let's go Wall Street bets, let's go to the moon, let's start buying all the call options and investing in all the speculative stuff we possibly can. And now we're at where we're at, where the stock market has just absolutely freaking killed it. So there's something that you should know about your profession that makes you a better investor than the average person just by virtue of your education. So it's dollar cost averaging is the investment strategy, and it's overlaid on you having an education with a low unemployment rate. So let me explain why you are an investing superhero. You are Wonder Woman or Iron Man or the Hulk or Doctor Who, or I don't know if that's a superhero. My wife watches it all the time. But, you know, pick your favorite superhero, and that is what you are when it comes to investing. And here's why. Dollar cost averaging is based on something called the harmonic mean. Basically, what it says is if you regularly buy something, so for example, let's say you bought $20 worth of gas when it was $1 a gallon and $20 worth of gas when it was $2 a gallon, the average price you paid for the gas that you bought was not $1.50. It's weighted by the amount of gallons you bought for the amount of cash you spent. So it's actually $1.33. So the same thing is true for stock market investing. When you're dollar cost averaging, you're buying more stock at cheaper prices when you pay $1,000 a month in your brokerage account and less stock at higher prices when you're putting $1,000 a month in your brokerage account. And that enhances your return significantly. There's something called the dollar weighted rate of return, which kind of looks at investors' performance in investments when you look at it based off of the amount of dollars they put in, not just the time that they were invested. So when you look at that, usually people's dollar-weighted rate of returns are really bad because what people do is they take a lot of money and they drop it into, you know, a Tesla when it's near its peak. And they when it's really beaten down and everybody's fearful it's going to go bankrupt and it's an incredible value, people don't put that much into it, right? So this dollar cost averaging idea means that you need a regular investment plan for it to work. If you don't have a regular investment plan, it's not going to work. So that's a big problem, right? Most people do not have a regular investing plan. A lot of people outsource it. A lot of people hire financial planners. That's great. If you have one, that's great. But to be successful in investing, you at least need to be an informed consumer. It would be kind of like getting cancer treatment and just sort of trusting the doctor completely and not asking any questions. That's probably not the best approach. It's probably good to be informed, right? And that's not the best example because obviously I would never want somebody to self-provision their cancer care, whereas like financial planning and investing is something that you can totally do if you have the knowledge. The issue with dollar cost averaging is this. What happens in a bad economy is a lot of times people lose their jobs or they have an income drop or they have more economic insecurity, especially people at the lower end of the income scale. What happens is that $1,000 a month that you're supposed to be investing has to drop down to 100 a month during the recession because you lost your job or you don't have an income or you have a drop in income. And that destroys the strategy because you're not buying more stock at cheaper prices. You're just buying stock at high prices when you have the money, when the economy's good. And that's a problem in terms of having this investing strategy that's going to get you to that six-figure net worth, get you to that passive income goal, get you to all those life options that you want way faster. So why is it so good that you have the education that you have? Remember the comment from earlier, the unemployment rate for people with a master's degree in the country right now is about 1.5%, meaning that it's effectively zero. Remember veterinarians, 0.7% unemployment rate, unemployment rate's effectively nothing. Even during 2009, the master's degree unemployment rate, I think, was 5%. It was double that for the economy overall compared to people with, you know, some college or no college. Their unemployment rate's more like 15% or something like that. So you're talking about a situation where if you have your education, which most of the people listening to this are people with some sort of advanced degree, right? Some sort of graduate degree or master's degree or professional degree. So you have a very low chance of losing your job and you have a lot more income stability in recessions. So that means that you have this investing superpower of being able to use the dollar cost averaging strategy. Now, you still need to know what investments to use. You still need to know what types of accounts to use. You still need to know all the tips and tricks that can lower your adjusted gross income. You need to know how to do tax loss harvesting. You need to know the difference between mutual funds and ETFs. You need to know about real estate investing versus stock investing versus bond investing versus crypto versus other alternative investments and which ones are useful and which ones are useless. You also would want to think about practice ownership and entrepreneurship as a part of your investment strategy. So what are all these different things? They're just ways to get passive income. That's all it is. It's just ways to generate asset growth rapidly that will initially maybe be hard, but you can get over that hump very easily with the right knowledge. And then you will have a lot of rapid wealth growth that's going to give you a lot of rapid passive income growth when you're ready to use it to take options into your life to work less, change your work, eliminate the worst parts of your job, or eliminate your job altogether because you're retiring way earlier than you thought you wanted to or could. So there's a lot of different paths in the road to wealth growth, but you need to pick the one that works for you. But to navigate the paths, you need a map. You need a plan. Obviously, you could go check out a bunch of investment books at the local library or something, or you could go on to a bunch of investing forums and do all of that. But most people don't have the time and patience for that. That takes hundreds of hours maybe to read a bunch of different books and go through all the different forums out there. Certainly, there's a lot of good information. I'm by no means knocking those sources. But again, the cost is time. The cost is also interest level. So a lot of people might not have the interest level to go and sort out which books are useful, which ones are useless. The reality is I've probably read, I don't even know, 50 investment books or something because I'm passionate about this. I love this. This is my calling, is helping people live their best lives and freeing them from anxiety about obstacles holding them back from their financial dreams. Student debt's one of those obstacles, but asset growth and not hitting your asset growth is another obstacle to hitting those financial dreams that you have. So I want you to get to that point, which is why I created the six-figure debt to six-figure net worth investing course in the first place. That is what that course will provide you, is a map towards doing all the right things in 2022 now to get to financial independence way, way faster than you ever dreamed was possible. So we teach tax strategies, ways to lower your AGI, how to invest in which accounts, what to open first, important things like account minimums, strategies to, you know, get loss carry forwards for future years to save on taxes. So there's like a dozen different ways this course can immediately pay for itself. And in some cases, it would pay for itself 10x or even 100x. We also have bonus modules in six-figure net worth to talk about how to save for a down payment on a house, or if you should be using a 0% down payment on a house, ways to save tax-free for your kids' college, and other sorts of real estate investments. We have bonus modules on that. And we have a live Q&A with course students when we launch this to answer any of your questions about the course content. The course price is $1,000 because you're going to get multiples of value off of this course. But for the next 48 hours, we're discounting it 70% to $299. Literally, that expires in 48 hours after you're listening to this podcast. This is coming out Tuesday, the second week of January. So you have until this Thursday, if you're listening to this, when it came out, the day it came out, you have until this Thursday to visit this link and buy the course. It's a 7-day money back guarantee. So that means for if any reason you felt like, man, this $299 was not exponentially worth it, then there's a no questions asked refund policy where we give you a refund for any reason or no reason. You just email help at studentloanplanner.com and we'll give you one. So to buy the course and change your financial life in 2022, go to studentloanplanner.com/investing. Again, that's studentloanplanner.com/investing. Also, if you're on the email list, you'll see some announcements about it this week. This is the best thing that we have in terms of what it can do to change your life. A student debt plan might save you $50,000. It might save you $100,000. We've had cases where student loan plans have saved someone that wasn't aware that they could get PSLF. We've saved them $200,000, literally from an hour conversation. But you can save that amount of money, and that still will not allow you to financially be free. It will not allow you to be financially independent and retire 2 decades sooner than you thought possible. Why? Because you can save somebody that amount of money, but that does not provide passive income. Growing your wealth to 6 figures of escape velocity, when you hit that point, you're going to reach your financial goals. The only question is how fast, right? That asset growth is what gets you the passive income that you need to achieve all of the big, crazy, audacious goals that you have for yourself and for your family. And I want you to hit every single one of them. So studentloanplanner.com/investing, the 6-figure debt to 6-figure net worth investing course. We've had thousands of students, and only about 2% of them ask for that money back guarantee. And generally that's because they're an advanced level of investment knowledge and just wanted to see if there's anything they didn't already know. And they knew most of it in the course, which is why they wanted the refund, because they knew most of it already. So if you're a beginner investor or an intermediate investor and you really don't, you're not sure where to start and you need some help, this is the course for you. For your beginners out there, for you, you have no idea what you're doing, this is absolutely the course for you. I would love for you to be able to converse with all of these terms and understand these terms so that you're financially literate and you are literate when you're talking to potential financial planners. If you decide to hire one day, where you're going to know these concepts, where you're not going to be taken advantage of, right? I have a lot of financial advisors and planners in my life now, but thank goodness that I know the right questions to ask so that I can make sure that I'm getting the right advice. This course is going to change your life. I promise it will. Otherwise, again, just ask for that money back guarantee. So studentloanplanner.com/investing, 70% off in the next 48 hours. Thanks so much for listening to the Student Loan Planner podcast, and I hope you have a wonderful week.